How much oversight is too much?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A House panel approved a measure late yesterday that would open up everything the Federal Reserve does. Some say more transparency is key, but others say the Fed needs to be protected so it can do its job. Marketplace's Alisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the sponsor of this amendment is Texas Republican Ron Paul, who has never been quiet about his disdain for the Fed. What does his measure say?
Believe it or not, Ron Paul has introduced a version of this measure in Congress every year since the early 1980s. This is the first time it's really gained any traction with the mainstream, though. This version is an amendment to much bigger legislation dealing with financial regulation, and it calls for letting the Government Accountability Office, that's Congress's investigative arm, audit everything the Fed does.
But doesn't the GAO already do that? Ben Bernanke can't just do anything he wants, right?
No, of course not. When the Fed does something like a bailout or it lends emergency cash, that's all out in the open. But there's this whole other aspect to what the Fed does, which in normal times is really its primary job. So dealing with other central banks and changing interest rates, things like that. And all that's done behind closed doors.
And what's the argument against opening that stuff up to the light?
Well, more and more people are saying we should open that stuff up to the light. But there are people like Barney Frank who think those decisions should stay private. They're worried that opening it all up would subject the Fed to political pressure and make it really hard for the Fed to do its job properly.
Okay. Marketplace's Alisa Roth joining us live from New York. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Now, if the financial crisis and the recession are the sickness, and the medicine is low interest rates and a flood of cash into the market, then what are the medicine's side effects? Well, one of them is starting to pop up in what are called frontier markets, from Vietnam to Belarus. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has that.
Bond investors are awash in dollars. One told me it was time to pass the snorkel. What to do with all that money? Forget Uncle Sam. His bonds aren't paying much of a return these days. Saleh Daher is managing director of the Tehran Corporation. He says the best interest rates come from countries you need a passport and maybe a couple of shots to get to.
There is a tremendous appetite for return all around the world, even faraway places like Nigeria and Angola.
He says so-called frontier bonds can pay as much as 8% more interest than U.S. Treasuries. And if you have a taste for adventure, some upcoming issues include bonds in Vietnam, Belarus, and Iran. But remember, there's a reason they're called frontier.
If times are good, maybe they'll get paid. If times are bad, they may not see their money ever again. This is the problem.
Daher says investors should beware. As soon as Washington starts raising interest rates, the frontier gold rush could lose a bit of its shine. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Philip Morris has been ordered to pay $300 million in damages to a former smoker in Florida. It's the largest award yet among thousands of lawsuits filed in that state against tobacco companies. Checking stocks this morning, European markets are flat. Asian markets were mixed earlier today. Technology stocks suffered after Dell warned computer sales to big businesses are still sluggish. And Sony's turnaround plans failed to inspire confidence. On Wall Street yesterday, it was energy and material stocks dropping as a jump in the dollar brought down commodity prices. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ lost about 1.5%. The Dow fell 94 points to 10,332. Oprah is expected to announce today the Oprah Winfrey Show will end in 2011. The top-rated daytime show of the past two decades has delivered an audience to the evening news, sold books, and made a guru out of its central character. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins looks at the winners and losers in this announcement.
42 million viewers tune into Oprah each week. And she delivers with major television events like the Black Eyed Peas playing an outdoor show in Chicago and Tom Cruise's famous incident.
Jump off that sofa. Keep watching. Oh, I got a feeling.
I'm having fun just thinking about it.
There have been rumors Oprah's been thinking about moving on for a long time. She's expected to start up the Oprah Winfrey Network with Discovery Communications on cable in a couple of years.
And she's given every indication that she's going to do a talk show there.
Media critic David Zurawiec of the Baltimore Sun told the station WTOP that a new show on cable may increase Oprah's already sizable fortune.
As incredibly lucrative as syndication is for Oprah Winfrey, she can even make more money if she owns the channel it's on.
Whether she can get the audience to tune in to cable remains to be seen, but the media industry is predicting this could be a major loss for the main carrier of the show, CBS, not to mention ABC, which also broadcasts the show on many of its big city stations. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
This could be a big weekend at movie theaters. The Twilight series returns with a sequel called New Moon. Producers hope the teenagers who made the first monster movie a hit will pour into theaters again. But Marketplace's Jeff Tyler says it's not just Hollywood that stands to make some vampire money.
However it does at theaters, the latest Twilight installment is already popular with companies trying to connect with teens and tweens. Fans can find New Moon-themed meals and trading cards at Burger King. And Toys R Us has set up what it calls dedicated boutiques, as in dedicated to the movie's merchandise. Department stores Kohl's and Nordstrom's are also trying to use the movie's cachet to attract a younger clientele.
Typically at Nordstrom and Kohl's, you know, they're attracting an older demographic, the parents of the teenagers, if you will.
That's Morningstar retail analyst Kimberly Pakola. I asked her if the multiple merchandising campaigns might undercut each other. She said there could be some isolated overlap for retailers.
Hot Topic and Nordstrom might run into each other in certain malls.
But Pakola says the other stores involved target different demographics, clearing the way for them to ride the Twilight gravy train. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a provision in the Senate health care bill to tax elective cosmetic procedures. Plastic surgeons and drug makers are lobbying against the Botox. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.